Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on the black market when we come back. You know, we Americans talk a lot about private business, and we use terms like private ownership, private property, private rights. But we also use terms like stocks, bonds, negotiable instruments, licenses, and permits in our pursuit of profit and gain in our business transactions. Well, listen to this. Did you know that stocks and negotiable instruments are the exact opposite to private ownership? Bonds are the exact opposite to private property. Public business licenses are the exact opposite to private rights. And permits are the exact opposite to private business. And why is it that we see small business being subjected to such a constant barrage of attacks by government at every level from Washington to your hometown? And what can you do to protect your life, your liberty, and your property from these incessant attacks by government agents and agencies like OSHA and the EPA, the State Tax Commission, Zoning and Planning, the IRS, and the swarms of government agents and agencies that are eating out your substance? Well, you know there's a lot you can do. And the first step is to inform yourself as to the legal alternatives that you have between public business and private business. Now, if you'd like to learn more about private business, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package and let me tell you more about what it is that you're not supposed to know about private business. Remember, it's educational, entertaining, informative. Best of all, it's free. And you can call and order yours right now. The number's 417-273-4967. Now, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, just go to the webpage, georgegordon.org. Click on to the email and then request your free general law CD package online. That's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about the black market, and I pointed out some of the concepts or contrasts between the heroin market, which is at an all-time high. We've never had such a large supply of heroin. It's driven the market price on the street down by two-thirds. It's $50 a gram today. It was $150 just 2 years ago. Of course, the supply has gone up by 4,200 tons a year, thanks to America's invasion and takeover of Afghanistan, where the Taliban had prohibited and had practically expunged the production of opium poppies. Under American control, we have now increased production from near zero to 4,200 tons a year and depressed world prices by two-thirds. And I pointed out to you that that's what the marketplace, that's the free market. We call it the underground economy. We have these various and sundry names for it. Underground economy is 25% of all of the trade, commerce, business, and industry that's conducted here in the United States. Did you know that? The president is talking about an $11 trillion a year economy in America. Did you know that $2.75 trillion of that is the underground economy? It's the transactions that you make with your neighbor next door when you went over and rototilled his garden and he paid you $25 and you put the $25 in your pocket and didn't declare it on your income tax. Did you know that you were a tax evader? Did you know that you were participating in the underground economy? That's right. 25% of all of the trade, commerce, business, and industry that goes on in America is done in the underground economy. And it's untaxed. That's what makes government so damn mad. Because when you do that little job for your neighbor next door, You don't declare that on your taxes. Nobody paid Social Security taxes on that $25 transaction. Nobody knows about that $25 transaction. It's totally private. Okay, government doesn't like that. They want to know what the hell's going on. If they don't know about it, they're not happy. Some government bureaucrat somewhere needs to know what you're doing, and it's untaxed, and that's the thing that really ticks off the bureaucracy, is that they're not getting a cutoff of it. And I'd sit here and ask, well, what in the hell does the government need to have a cutoff if you rototilling your neighbor's garden? But they seem to think that they do. So they have taken over all of commerce in America. Under the Commerce Clause at Article 1, Section 8 in our federal Constitution, they can do that, and they have. And if you work for General Motors, they're taxing your paycheck every month. They're taking away from you 16% of everything you create and produce, and they call that Social Security. And then they tax you another 17% or more, depends upon how much money you make, but it's 17% or more. And you're paying those taxes and those Social Security taxes, and that's one-third of everything you create and produce. Take your $25 for doing your neighbor's garden and just add to that another 33%. You know, just take 25 times 0.33. You'd have to charge him another $8.25. Instead of doing the job for 25, you'd have had to have charged him $33.25 for that job so that you could pay those two taxes. And then you've got to have OSHA, the EPA, the State Tax Commission, and don't forget the Environmental Protection Agency, who might come by and discover that there was some kind of a toad or some kind of a little worm or some kind of a critter in your neighbor's garden, for which you might have to pay a $100,000 fine because you killed the little critter. I mean, after all, it could have been an endangered species. You know, all of these regulations that get tacked on add a lot of money to the cost of doing business in the United States, and it actually screws up and depresses our economy. And that's what socialism does. And of course, we Americans now have adopted all 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. And we have the same kind of socialist communist ideology and economy that they had in Russia. And it's where we get to stand in line and share the shortage. And more recently, we're getting to see how our health care system in the United States has deteriorated. See, when I was a kid, there was no health care crisis. There was no problem. You could get into a doctor's office anytime. You could call Dr. Walsh at 10 o'clock in the morning and get in that day, anytime. There wasn't a doctor in Eureka, California that couldn't take you the day you called them and be happy and glad to get your business. Of course, there was no insurance, and you had to pay for that yourself. And the doctor did his own credit, and he'd take you in, and if you didn't pay him once or twice, then he wouldn't take you anymore. How's that? See how simple that is? And so we all paid our doctor's bills because we were always concerned about if we get sick next month, the doctor won't treat us because we didn't pay our bill last month or the month before. It's just like anything else. It's what the marketplace is all about. But hey, listen, it only cost you $5 for an office call. It cost $5 to have a tooth pulled. It cost $5 to have your teeth cleaned. You know, $5 in those days were, well, just take it, it'd be about like 50 today. It was about $10 for a silver dollar today. So, yeah, it'd be about like 50 bucks. And boy, $50, you know, was pretty hard hit when I was a kid. And so we didn't run to the doctor with every sniffle and every sneeze. You know, you only went to the doctor when you were really sick or when there was really a need to go. And that didn't strain the healthcare system. And, of course, we didn't have any health insurance, and so 27% of all of the money that goes into health care. Let me show you something here. $1.5 trillion a year is what we're spending on health care. 25% of that. 25%. Around, you know, $300 billion a year just goes to shuffling paper. It hires a lot of paper shufflers, which, by the way, is being outsourced to India, Pakistan, and other countries. So it doesn't even benefit Americans in the workplace. It's just a net drain on our economy. The money's going overseas anyway. Now, that's what socialism and socialized medicine does, and it causes inflation. And the number one champion newsletter on inflation has to be the Mogambo Guru. Let's take a look at the Mogambo Guru, 8 pages, published 3205. It's just a couple, 3 days ago. I just got the new one in. And this guy, his name is Richard Doughty, D-A-U-G-H-T-Y, and you can get the Mogambo Guru e-economic newsletter from Kitco.com. Just go to Kitco.com and then punch on Doughty, D-A-U-G-H-T-Y, and you can download this newsletter. So it's free. And you can see how valuable the advice that you get from the Mogambo Guru is. You got it for nothing, and it's worth just exactly what you paid for it. Nothing. See how simple that is? But he's funny as hell, and you'll really enjoy the newsletter, and it's really worth your time, effort, and energy. And he bills himself, he calls himself, the angriest guy in economics. And I said in the last program, I said, I don't know why Richard is so angry. I'm just as happy as a clam at high tide. Why, I'm just as happy as a moth at a light bulb. And that's because there's money to be made here. Now, I feel sorry for all of you people out there that are going to lose your homes. Now, that's a tragedy, and I feel sorry for you. But you're the proximate cause of your own injury. I mean, you're the one that went out there and borrowed the money and paid interest on it and violated the basic business principles of the Scripture. And I told you I'd take you through these 86 business principles that come out of the Scripture. Yeah, did you know that God was a businessman? Yeah, God doesn't wait in line for medical services from the local doctor. Neither do I. I don't have any complaints at all about the healthcare system in America. Not a one. None. Zero. I'm not complaining about the inflation rate of the United States or the outsourcing of jobs from America to India. I don't think it's a good idea. I think it's bad for your economy. I think it's bad for your nation. I think it's bad for most of you people out there. But God forbid that I should get in the way of you Americans practicing communism and socialism to your heart's content. Because I'm going to make a lot of money off of it. I'm going to make money off of your losses. Did you hear me? I'm going to make great profits off of your losses. And it's not my fault that you're going to suffer these losses. You brought it upon yourself. And in law, we call it the proximate cause of your own injury. You know, when you go down to Flo's Whorehouse and you get a dose of clap, tain't my fault. I didn't do that. I didn't put a gun at your head and force you in the door. But it brings great profit to the doctors and the hospitals that have to treat your sexually transmitted disease. So the doctor is simply doing what I'm doing. He's simply saying, I'm going to profit off of your criminal activity. I don't think Flo's Whorehouse is a good idea. I don't think it's good for you. I wouldn't vote for it. I wouldn't go in there. I don't buy our services. But God bless all you people that do, because I'm going to make money off of you. Because for every action, there's an equal opposite reaction, they tell us in physics. And the same thing is true in the real world of life. When you make decisions and you take actions, there are consequences that flow from them. You get married, and there are reactions. You know, I had 5 of those reactions when I was a young man. That's what happens when you get married. Now, I'm not sorry that I had 5 children, and I don't mean to say that. I'm just telling you that if you didn't want to have to feed 5 of those little bread snappers, then maybe the single life would have been better for you. And so I had to get out and work real hard to make more money to feed those children, educate them, and raise them, and do all those things that parents do. Sodomites don't have to worry about that. They don't have children. It's a scientific fact that sodomites do not reproduce. And so they don't have those expenses, and that's why they make more money than the rest of us and have more disposable income than the average American family. Just another little side political event for me to report. Kitco, the Mogambo Guru. Now listen to this. This guy is focused on inflation. Inflation. So let's listen to what's going on in inflation. Here's the bad news. And then let's take a look at it a little later on, and we'll see, well, how can we make money off of this? He says, foreigner central banks took some more tranquilizers, then took a deep breath and stepped up to the plate last week to throw another $22 billion into buying our debt instruments and stashing it at the Fed for safekeeping. This has given me a great idea, as it involves the two things that a successful business needs these days: technology and government money. The great Mogambo idea, called the GMI, is that I will sell an electronic device to these foreign governments. The internal working title of the project is called High Intensity Money Sucking Machine, also known as the HIMST. Although in my official proposals, this fabulous new gadget is called the Great Mogambo Buying Power Detector, also known as the TGMBPD. What you do is to carefully unpack the delicate device and assemble it, making sure that you insert tab A into slot B. Then you aim the device at the Federal Reserve. Through complicated programming and powerful cutting-edge computer chip technology, you can actually see the purchasing power of your money in the bank leaking out under the doors, down the stairs, and out into the gutter, and finally down the storm drain. And then, with my optional sound enhancement component subsystem, also known as the OSECS, you can actually hear the rats in the sewer complaining about the stinking deluge. Almost like they were assessing this, Neural Robini and Brad Setzer have written an interesting paper entitled "Will the Bretton Woods II Regime Unravel Soon?" The risk of a hard landing in 2005 and 2006, which is unwieldy as a title, and if it was me, I would have shortened it to "We're Freaking Doomed," which is both short and highly descriptive, which ought to win me a few brownie points for productivity on my next evaluation. Anyway, these two authors opine that the rest of the world will soon run out of the capability to absorb more dollar-denominated debt. Foreign central banks, especially China, cannot borrow enough domestically to purchase all of these bonds that they need to maintain their currency peg, so they print the rest. This is driving an inflationary boom in China that will run its course eventually and then lead to a crash. The end game of this global inflationary boom will be a dollar crisis, a reduction in U.S. consumption, higher interest rates, collapsing asset markets, and a recession. And you thought that I was gloomy. Ha ha ha. Now let me pause right here and let me make an observation. That sounds pretty poor, doesn't it? That sounds really bad. And yet, I'm sitting here with no dollar-denominated assets. Yeah, it's true. I had some real estate and I had some other things a few years back, and I said to myself, looks like to me that the dollar is going down the tubes and that we're going into hyperinflation, and I need to get rid of these real estate parcels, and I need to convert those into something, some other kind of hard asset that'll hold its value. And then I'm going to hang on to that. And then when this real estate bubble breaks, then I'm going to swoop in. Now, let me show you a little transaction here. Let's see if this makes any sense to you. I had a piece of property over here that was worth $400,000. Now, that's in Federal Reserve Note dollars. Its real value, since it's 40 acres, its real value was about $40,000. I mean, that's what we paid for it 20 years ago. And that $40,000 piece of property inflated in value today until it's worth $10,000 an acre, about $400,000. Now, it's well worth the $400,000. There's just no two ways about that. It is worth every dime of $400,000. And that's because other properties up and down the road over there are selling for that much or more right now, today, in these inflated dollars. So, let me sell that $400,000 piece of property, that 40 acres. Now, let's just do a little arithmetic. Get your Texas Instrument calculator out, boys and girls, and let's just do this transaction. We have $400,000, so we send it over here to Ozarks Realty, and we say, hey, put this on the market and sell it for the $400,000, and let's divide that by $400 per ounce of gold, and we'll find that we'll get 1,000 ounces of gold. Okay, so now put down 1,000 ounces of gold at $400 an ounce. Now, let's just hang on, and let's not spend our gold. Let's just go dig a hole someplace, bury it in a hole in the ground, and let's wait until the real estate bubble breaks, which they always have, they always do, and this one certainly will. And it may be this year, next year, or the year after, but we'll just sit back and wait patiently with our 1,000 hours buried comfortably in a hole in the ground, not drawing any interest or doing jack squat. And when the real estate bubble breaks, the price of that real estate will go down to $40,000. And then at the same time that the price of that real estate goes down to $40,000, hyperinflation will come into the marketplace and drive the price of gold up higher. Now, let me show you what the price of gold should be today and show you what a good value it is. Can you remember back to 1980? The price of gold had $827 an ounce. 1980. From 1980 to 2000, the value of the dollar went down by 50%. That means that today, a dollar that we had in 1980 will now buy 50 cents worth of goods and services. So the price of gold, based upon 1980 prices, should today be $1,654. But it's not. It's $435. So, the price of gold is underpriced by about four times, and the price of land is overvalued by about 10 times. So if we sell the land for 10 times more than it's worth, and we buy gold that's worth one-fourth what it's really worth, when the price of land goes down to what its real value should be, and the price of gold goes up to what it should be in the future, that's called profit. Profit. Can you see, Mr. Magombo, why I'm so excited about inflation? Can you see why I'm sitting here gleefully with a great big grin on my face saying, oh my God, look at the profits to be made. All right, boys and girls, now that's what business is all about. You buy low and sell high. And it requires some discipline, and it requires the free marketplace. Now, look, I didn't drive the price of that land up to $40,000. The real price of that land used to be worth an ounce of gold. An ounce of gold was worth an acre of land. 40 acres of land should be worth 40 ounces of gold. Gold should be priced at $20 an ounce. That's what it was from 1787 to 1933. And we didn't have any inflation, and we didn't have any deflation, and the only people that suffered from economic turns up and down are the people that dealt in commercial paper. They dealt in usury and interest. They violated the economic laws that God gave us at Mount Sinai. Those are the people that suffer economic consequences. You know, you get married and little babies start popping up. And then you got to feed them and clothe them and house them. And they're expensive little suckers. They cost a lot of money. And it's a consequence of marriage. God designed it that way, and that's the way the thing works. And Flo's Whorehouse is designed that way. You go into Flo's and you come out with a sexually transmitted disease. And then you got to go to Marcus Welby, MD, down at Mercy Medical Center and spend a lot of money and take a lot of shots and pills and go through treatments and one thing and another to get over your clap or your gonorrhea. You know what I mean? So, you know, there are consequences. I hope you had a good time at Flo's on Friday night because the consequences sometimes get to be pretty expensive. Now, we Americans decided that we wanted paper money. So back in 1913, we voted in this Federal Reserve Program. And, you know, once it was voted in, Americans didn't have to participate in it, but they did. In 1914, 15, 16, 17, and 18, boys and girls, Americans had paper money from the Federal Reserve and they had gold money from the Treasury. And they used the paper money from the Federal Reserve. And through the 1920s, they just got rich in paper. They invested in stocks and bonds, and it was called the Roaring Twenties. And my God, those people were just ecstatic. They were euphoric. They were making profits. They just couldn't believe the wonder of paper money. Well, until 1929, then the stock market crashed. And then the 1930s and the Great Depression came on. And then they lost their shirts and lost their farms and they lost everything that they had, and that wasn't so good, you know. It's like getting AIDS, it flows and then you die. And that's not so good. But boy, did we have a good time at the whorehouse. I'm just telling you, boys and girls, and this guy, Richard Dotty here, the great Magumbo, when he writes a newsletter, he's giving you a report on some of the greatest opportunities that God has ever placed before man. At the expense of all of the criminals, all of the sinners, all of the people that practice usury and interest and stocks and bonds and mortgages and inflation and paper money and commerce and Canaanite trafficking, which God condemned and told us not to do. And I'm sitting here on the sidelines, and I'm sitting here saying, God bless all of you criminals and you sinners, because I'm going to take it all away from you. As Magumbo would laugh and go, ha, 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 ha. And that's what a depression is. It's really, in reality, simply a transfer of wealth. And we're sitting on the cutting edge of a transfer of wealth. We're about to see the wealth of America transferred to China and Japan and India and Pakistan. We're witnessing your jobs being transferred from the United States to India. And we're witnessing the degeneration of the high-priced $20 an hour labor to the service sector labor of $10 an hour. That's what we're witnessing. And I'm sitting here poised to make profit off of the misery of Americans who break the law of God. That's all. Now, the Magumbo over here is sad, evidently, because he calls himself the angriest guy in economics. And he should really be as happy as a clam at high tide, smiling all the way. And he ought not to be going to the bank. He should not be smiling all the way to the bank. He should be smiling all the way to his hole in the ground where he buries his gold and silver, awaiting the time when the housing bubble breaks and he can make great buys in real estate. Now, let me show you what I'm going to do. Down at the lower end, on the south end of my farm here, there's an 85-acre piece of ground. And today, those people on that 85 acres want somewhere in the neighborhood of $255,000. They want a quarter of $1 million for that. And I want to buy it. I just love to have it. See? So here's what I did. I took the 40 acres and I sold that and I turned it into 1,000 ounces of gold. And I fully expect the price of gold to quadruple, go to $1,600 an ounce. And when the price of gold goes to $1,600 an ounce, I'll have enough money to pay that $255,000, won't I? Ah, but wait. At the same time the real estate bubble breaks, the price of that 85 acres is going to go from 255 down to 85. So I'm going to have my 1,000 ounces. Let's try this. 1,000. Take your Texas Instrument calculator here, boys and girls, and punch in 1,000. Now let's go up to 1,600 times 1,600. And all of a sudden, in dollars, that's $1,300,000 in dollars. So I'm going to have the equivalent in fiat paper currency, you know, this worthless inflated money, $1,300,000. And then the price of this ground is going to go down to 85,000. So let's just plug in 85,000 and hit the minus button. You know, you take 1,300,000, and then you take 85,000, and hit the minus, and you got, what do we got here? 72,000. I'm going to do that right. Let me do this over again. 1,300,000. And then let me take minus 85,000. Let's see if I can get that one. God, my machine ain't making sense over here. Let me just do it this way. 1,300,000. Let me take the 85,000. And let me just do it by hand. I can't make my calculator work. 8, 9, 10 is 2. That gives me 12. That gives me $1,220,000 left over. Now let's take the $1,220,000. Let me see if my machine works here. 1,220,000. And then let's take the 1,220,000 over here and divide that by 1,600. And how many ounces will I have left? 750. So I'm going to take about 1/4 of my gold and buy twice as much land. Can you follow that? Now that's what this inflation is going to do. Now the man down here with the 85 acres is going to lose his shirt, and the guy that buys the 40 acres is going to lose his shirt. He's going to pay all of this money for a piece of land that's going to depreciate in value, and the guy that's got the land and hangs on to it is going to lose the value of the land. And George Gordon is going to take advantage of both of them, and there's going to be a transfer of wealth. A transfer of wealth is in the offing. That's what's coming up. And that's what the newsletter writers are telling you, boys and girls. And that's what the black market is all about. That's what the underground economy is all about. The underground economy is what I call the real world of supply and demand. It's always been there. It was there at the Garden of Eden. It was there when Joe Stalin was murdering 16 million people in the Ukraine in the 1930s. The free market is always there. It's always being manipulated by government. It's always being repudiated and impugned and made fun of by professors in college and by politicians who are selling communism and socialism. They laugh at it. They make fun of it. They impugn it and they ridicule it. They teach against it. They hate it. They despise it. But in spite of it all, it still works, and it works like a shot. And in the last program, I showed you how well it worked in the heroin market and cocaine and marijuana. It's unstoppable. You can spend billions of dollars trying to eradicate it. And it just keeps right on going, whether you like it or not. You can't eradicate AIDS, herpes, and VD, boys and girls. Until you eradicate adultery, you can never eradicate the penalty for it. You want to eradicate gonorrhea and syphilis? You just eradicate, thou shalt not commit adultery. Just eradicate adultery, and you can eradicate the penalty. And without it, you're going to suffer. It's just the way life is. It's where the real world works. Let me give you a little caveat here, and we'll be right back with more on the black market when we return. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Gordon Law School and The Law Hour, please go to my website at georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on a compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log, schedule, and archives. It can be accessed through my website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in a public interest, and The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just go to the Law School website. That's georgegordon.org. Click on to the email and send an email request for that free general law CD package, or call direct 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. One last caveat. Remember that the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of the network or of this radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to the website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. There it is. I said it. Now, back to the black market. The black market is what, when I was a kid, was called supply and demand. And we practiced it in America as a matter of common sense, just common practice. It was before we adopted all 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto into our economy and our society. Today, in the year 2005, I'm an old man and I have witnessed the transformation from the free economy to the managed or government-controlled economy. And we have a man named Alan Greenspan. He's controlling our economy, just like Joe Stalin used to manage the economy of the Soviet Union back in the 30s and 40s. And Uncle Joe, we called him during World War II. When I went to school, we were taught and trained, and we called Joe Stalin, the butcher of Russia, we called him Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe. Yes, we learned to be good communists when I was a child in public school. But when I was a child, we weren't practicing communism to the degree that we are today, and we had better results. My dad could support his whole family on what he earned in 1955. Today, you people have to have your wives out working with you to make your living and make your payments, and you're slipping behind. Your economy of paper money and interest and usury isn't quite working as well as it used to, and that's because you've replaced the free market. You've replaced the black market. You've replaced the underground economy. You've replaced supply and demand with controls. You've replaced it with insurance and OSHA, the EPA, the State Tax Commission, and 37 government bureaucracies and agencies like the Patriot Act and Homeland Security regulate and control the airlines and who rides searching you and doing all these thingies that we would have called 50 years ago an intrusion on your Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights, but today, of course, we call it security. And, hey, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. I mean, if you want to bend over and spread your cheeks to be inspected for C4 plastic explosives every time you fly on an airplane, be my guest. But I think I'll just stay off the airplanes. That's my conclusion. That's what the marketplace is all about. I don't have to fly in an airplane. No, sirree, Bob. I don't have to fly in an airplane. I got a letter here the other day. I got to share this with you. It came from Orlando, Florida. Now, they don't have any ships in Orlando, but it was from the Carnival Cruises, and they sent me a letter from Orlando, Florida, and they said, for $199, you can have a three-day cruise. $199. Can you imagine that? Well, just a few years ago, it was $699 for a three-day cruise. I sent them a letter back, and I said, well, you didn't need to lower the price to $199. I'd be happy to go down and ride on a Carnival cruise. It's just that I don't have any identification. And without my government-issued identification, I can't get on an airplane. And if I can't get on an airplane, I can't get to Orlando, so I can't fly. So why don't you take this up with President Bush, Delta Airlines, and Homeland Security, and let's see if we can get some reason, logic, and common sense put back into the marketplace so that I can get on an airplane, so that I can come down there and ride on your ship, and I'll pay you $700, three times as much money as you're asking for. And be happy to do it. They didn't even send me a letter back. I got a letter a couple of years ago asking me if I'd like to go to Hawaii. Of course I would like to go to Hawaii. But you know, people like me that practice in the underground economy, the black market, you know, supply and demand, people like me don't have national identification cards. I don't have a social security number, boys and girls. I don't have a driver's license. I don't have a marriage license. I don't have a registered car. How in the hell can I get on an airplane to get to Hawaii? You see, you've got government controls. The government has come in to protect all of you people from me. The government sees me as a person without a social security number. Why, my God, he must be a terrorist. Why, he doesn't have a marriage license. He doesn't have a bank account and credit cards. He doesn't have any identification. Of course, I didn't need any identification because I don't have Alzheimer's disease yet, boys and girls, and I know who I am. My name is George Gordon. I know who I am. I don't need to carry a piece of paper around in my pocket with my picture on it. Not yet. Now, you know, most of you people out there must forget who you are, because I notice that everybody carries this identification around. We Americans used to be opposed to our government trying to identify us. And that's because we used to think of ourselves as being free, white, and 21. Of course, that's no longer true, not in America. So anyway, I can't go to Hawaii, so you people over in Hawaii are going to have to do without my money. Now, I've got the money to go to Hawaii. And I would like to go to Hawaii, and I would like to go to Hawaii and spend my money with you, but I can't because the United States government won't let me. Well, unless I surrender my Fourth Amendment and Fifth Amendment rights so that I can get onto an airplane, I have to be nationally identified. I have to be stamped approved, like a side of beef, you know, USDA approved, in order to fly on the airlines. And I say, I'm not going to give up my constitutional rights to go spend my money in Hawaii. You people in Hawaii can go to hell in a handbasket for all I care. If you want my money, you got to compete for it in the marketplace like anybody else. So around here, closer to home, there are people here that I'm spending my money with. There are gold brokers that I spend my money with. They get my money. There are people here that have land. They get my money. But you people in Florida aren't getting it, and you people in Hawaii aren't getting it. Now, the reason you aren't is because the government has interfered in the marketplace. They have upset the marketplace. And the more you upset the marketplace, you find that there isn't anything that government can't do half as well for twice as much. And I pointed out education as a classic example. Before we had government involved in education, we were educating our children, and Johnny could read and Johnny could write. Today, Johnny can't read, Johnny can't write. It costs $7,000 a year to turn out this functional illiterate. At the same time that you could have educated that child for $546, and he could read and he could write. Now, I'm just telling you, that's government involved in education. Don't let me tell you people not to send your kids to public school. If you want to turn out functional illiterates for $7,000 a year, there is no better place than a public school in the United States of America, where the average score is at the 50th percentile. God bless all of you people, all 47 million of you that send your 47 million kids to the public school for $7,000 a piece. And then you want me to pay for it. And I'm sitting here saying, nah, I don't think so. I don't think so. Now, the people that pay the taxes in this country are the people that are in the economy. You know, you people are complaining a lot about the economy, and the president now has a new proposal along with Alan Greenspan. They say they want a consumption tax. A consumption tax. My God, boys and girls, you have a consumption economy. If you tax your consumption, you won't be able to consume as much. You'll have to save more. Well, of course, that's what they tell us the objective is. We want to put on a consumption tax to get you people to spend less on consumption. Oh, my God. I don't know. You really think that's a good idea? Because, you know, you people want me to consume. You're sending me letters and spending your money trying to get me to go to Hawaii and Florida to spend my money on consumption. And then you're going to put a tax on it? I mean, you know, I'm not too bright, but, you know, and I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night. I don't know. I think I'll just stay right here in the underground economy. I make more money and I live happier, and I'm just tickled to death. And I'm not the angriest man in economics. I'm as happy as a clam at high tide. Now, one of these days, the American economy will collapse, and when it collapses, there's going to be a massive transfer of wealth. And I am hoping to transfer a lot of your wealth into my possession. And the reason that I'm coming on the air is to tell you that if you want to protect that wealth from greedy, underground, black market capitalists like George Gordon, listen up and let me tell you. There are certain things that you're going to have to do or change in your doing in order to prevent that. 10. And at the same time, if you'd like to be on the cutting edge of taking away somebody else's property, now keep in mind, you know, when you've got a mortgage out here that's at 5% and it's one of these adjustable rate mortgages, and that interest rate goes up to 6, 7, 8, 9, 10%, I don't think you're going to be hanging on to those houses that you people are buying today on credit and leveraging out there into the stratosphere. I don't want to tell you your business, and I don't want to tell you not to borrow money, and I don't want to tell you not to pay interest. That's a decision for you to make. I don't do it. I don't recommend it. I don't teach it in my school, but I do teach business, and I do teach the Mosaic Law, and I do teach business and the Mosaic Law combined, and I make a lot of money at it. I gain a lot of wealth at it, and I would like to share that with you. But I don't think Alan Greenspan and George Bush have the keys to this safe. I really, honest to God, don't believe it. And Mr. Mogambu doesn't think so either. Listen to what else he says. He says, our own Treasury Department is still on a campaign to drown us all in debt. The total public debt is now $7.13 trillion. It's up $24 billion in one freaking week. And if you take a TGMBPD, you remember what that was? That's a high-intensity money-sucking machine. No, wait a minute. That's the wrong one. It's the optional sound-enhanced component subsystem. And you aim it at your bank account, you'll see the value of your money leaking out. Do you people have money in the bank? Mr. Mogambu, do you have money in the bank? Do you have a checking account? Do you deal in unjust weights and balances? Because if you do, I think you're going to lose money. Now, if you would deal in just weights and balances and stop stealing, you know, the law that says thou shalt not steal, I think if you practice that, you'll make more. I think if you'll use just weights and balances like gold and silver and platinum and wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil, I think you'll make a whole lot more than you will in stocks and bonds and mortgages and borrowing money from the bank. But again, you know, that's your choice in life, boys and girls. Do whatever makes you feel good. But don't get mad at me when you lose your shirt. I got to tell you a quick story right here. I'll tell you a little story about what happened after the flood. In 1955, I was working for an old Portuguese farmer by the name of Frank Roach. He had 650 tons of hay in his barn. The flood came through, silted all the fields. The neighbor came over and said to Frank, sell me some hay. Frank said, I can't sell you any hay because I'm going to need it for my own cows. Now, Frank had 140 cows. And he feeds out 200 bales a year. He's got a 3-year supply of hay in his barn. The neighbor knew that, and he said, why, Frank, you've got 600 tons of hay in your barn. The bridges are all out. I'm out of hay, and I got to have it. And Frank said to him, well, now, neighbor, 5 years ago, you put on twice as many cows and stopped making hay and started buying your hay from Tracy. You went grade A, and you made more money. Now, you got lots of money in the bank, but now you don't have any hay. And you want me to sell you the hay. Now, my fields are silted in just like yours are silted in. And this year, when the floodwaters go down, I'm not going to make any hay. So I've got to have another 200 tons to take me through next year. And if we had another flood at the end of the year, I wouldn't have enough hay to take me through that following winter. I have enough hay to take me through 3 winters. And I'm going to need that hay to take me through 3 winters. I don't want to buy any hay from Tracy, California. I don't want to go grade A. I don't want money in the bank. I want hay in the barn. The neighbor left just mad as hell. And it got worse. Because then the neighbor, not having hay, had to take his cows to the sale barn and sell them. And who do you think was at the sale barn buying them? Yeah, it was Frank Rocha. The dirty capitalist pig that wouldn't sell the neighbor his hay. The dirty capitalist pig that had oil in his lamps. And when the neighbor came and said, please, Mr. Rocha, sell me oil, the bridegroom cometh. And Frank said, ah, but if I do that, there won't be enough oil for me. So why don't you go die by yourself? So Frank is over at the sale barn buying these top-grade milk cows. Frank is selling his scrubs for beef, and he's buying these milk cows to put in his milking herd. at the neighbor's expense. Now, that's called a transfer of wealth. Now, that didn't occur because of the economy. That occurred because of a natural disaster, a natural phenomenon called flood. And whether it's a flood or whether it's a government policy or it's somebody else's bad business timing, these all make opportunities, and Frank took advantage of the buying opportunity with the neighbor's milk cows. Frank took advantage of the business opportunity and elected to put 650 tons of hay into his barn rather than to put thousands of dollars into the bank. These are choices, boys and girls, that we make out here in the marketplace. You decide to deposit money in the bank, and another guy decides to buy a house, and another guy decides to buy gold and silver, and another guy decides to buy art, and somebody else decides to do something else. And then time goes by, and then we start buying, selling, and trading. And some people end up with more than others. And the socialists and the communists all band together and say, that's not fair. Then they cry, and they whine, and they weep. And they lobby and they go to Congress and they say, it isn't fair that Gordon's got too much. And then I come along and say, well, how much is enough? Had a guy here in school one time, he said, you charge too much in your class tuition. And I said, well, how much is enough? And he said, $100. And I said, okay, well, how much does it cost me for my telephone bill every month? And he said, I don't know. And I said, well, how much does it cost me as a percentage of the cost of goods sold to bring a student into school? And he said, I don't know. And I said, well, how much does it cost to print these books and the papers and to put out the CDs? And he said, I don't know. And I said, well, if you don't know what the overhead is and you don't know what the cost of goods sold is, then how do you know how much is too much or not enough for the tuition? And he said, I don't know. I said, that's right. You don't, but I do. And the tuition price that I'm charging is exactly correct, because if I charge too much, students will not come to school. And if I don't charge enough, too many students will come to school, and I won't be able to teach them adequately. I will not be able to do a good enough job. They will not get a good enough result, and they will not recommend me, and they will not come back. If I turn out bad quality products, I can't sell them. And if I charge too much for them, people won't buy them. I know that my tuition in my school is the right amount because the students buy. And I know that my quality is good because my students prosper and recommend me to their fellow students. That's what the marketplace is all about. The Gordon Law School is an underground school. It's not licensed, bonded, or insured. We don't give out degrees here. You don't get a certificate that you can hang on the wall that says, I'm smart. When you leave this school, nobody is going to know what you have between your ears except you. And if you got between your ears what it is that you paid for when you came here, then you got your money's worth. Now go out and use it to make more. People go to the university and they come out with pieces of paper. They paste them up on their walls. They're as dumb as a box of rocks. But they're deceived into believing that they're intelligent and smart. And then the Mugambu comes along and he says, my God, did you see this national debt? Is it $7.13 trillion? And I'm saying, so what? I don't denominate my business in dollars. I don't care if the debt of the United States is $7 trillion, $17 trillion, or $77 trillion. It doesn't affect me. I'm not one of the underwriters of the debt. I'm not in the national economy. I don't have a checking account. I don't have any credit cards. I don't have a Social Security. I'm not on Social Security. I'm not on the dole. I'm not on welfare. I support myself. I know it's a wild new concept, boys and girls, but we used to practice that here in America. We Americans used to be self-sustaining, self-sufficient. Do you know that we Americans used to produce more food and fiber than we consumed? America used to be a producer nation. Producer nation. You see, everybody consumes, not everybody produces. College professors don't produce anything. They consume much. Politicians produce nothing and consume much. Soldiers produce nothing and they consume much. Professionals consume much and produce nothing. And all professions are illegal activities. That's why they have to be licensed. All doctors are licensed. All lawyers are licensed. All criminals have to be licensed. I'm not a criminal. I don't participate in criminal activities. If I had a licensed school, it would be the prima facie evidence that I'm involved in some kind of an activity that involves. You ever look up the word license? A license is permission to do something that's otherwise illegal, unlawful, a tort, or a trespass. I'm not doing anything that's illegal, unlawful, a tort, or a trespass, so I don't need a license. I know it's kind of a wild new concept, boys and girls, but I wanted to share it with you because it's what we call the black market, and the black market has this stigma attached to it. Oh my God, it's illegal, it's bad, it's wicked, it's terrible, awful, it's evil. And besides that, it's wrong and you shouldn't do that. And I'm sitting here saying, no, no, we got this black market. We got the free economy from God at Mount Sinai through Moses. It's the market. It's supply and demand. It's natural. It's normal. It's kind of like you ladies having babies. Did you know that having a baby is natural? It's normal. And you can do it. Cows and dogs and sheep and pigs, everybody does it. You don't need a cesarean section, girls. Honest to God, when God designed your body, He made the right equipment for them babies to pop right out of there. Well, of course, if you follow the health laws, now, of course, if you're going to violate the health laws, I can see why you'd need a doctor, a pediatrician, and a hospital. I've told my students for years, I say, hey, listen, if you're going to eat fat, blood, and pig, you need health insurance. Now, health insurance costs $9,000 a year, and they tell us we're in a health crisis, and 44 million Americans don't have health insurance. I want to make a confession. I'm one of them. I'm one of those 44 million people that doesn't have health insurance. I wouldn't buy it. I wouldn't take it, and I wouldn't use it if you gave it to me. I don't want it. I'm staying as far away from health insurance as I'm staying away from AIDS, herpes, and VD. You know, most people out there saying, oh my God, how can I get more health insurance? And I'm sitting over here saying, how in the hell can I avoid it? Don't foist it off on me either. You know, Americans used to have good health plans, good health, and they enjoyed good health without health insurance. Let me tell you, I'm not suffering from any health care crisis. None. Zero. Zilch. I've got two or three students that are doctors. I could get on the telephone right now and call one of those doctors and get in as soon as I can drive over there. And when I pay him, I'll pay him in gold coin. God, they love me. I mean, I pay my doctor in gold coin. I don't have to wait. I don't have to make an appointment. But now, if I had a health insurance plan, I'd have to go through my HMO, and they might not even determine, you know, that I'm qualified for medical services this week. I might have to wait a week or two. Can you imagine having an appendicitis and calling your HMO and talking to a paper shuffling clerk who's going to make the decision as to whether or not you can see a doctor? Well, that's what you got in America today. All right, I'm out of time. I got to leave it right there. And we'll be back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, with more on the black market. Sounds sinister, doesn't it? The black market. All right, you've been listening to The Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in both the U.S. and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Gordon Law School and The Law Hour, please go to the website georgegordon.org. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, that homeschooling page is at the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Time's up. Signal's on. Says get off. So I will. See you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing. So until then, good night, friends.